Well, the reason why we observe the people of African descent is that there is a pattern of discrimination and not being part of the mainstream of society in so many countries. And therefore, to have a whole decade of marking this is extremely important. Starting in this country, the horrible slave trade from West Africa to the United States, and by that creating a situation with racial discrimination for many, many years, with some remnants still noticeable today. But it is a global phenomenon, and I think it's important that we do our duty. I'm also very glad that the United Nations is setting up a memorial to remind the world about the slave trade and what that meant in terms of injustices for a very particular segment of the population.
You spoke about the United States in your speech, and you also mentioned the recent protests occurring after the Ferguson affair. Chief Zaid of the Human Rights Office said that there was a disproportionate amount of African people that are being in jail or in custody. What's the position of the United Nations, and what's your opinion about this?
Well, of course, I stand fully behind what the Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has stated on these issues, but also on what my colleague and friend Zaid Hussein, Human Rights Commissioner, has made mention of. I think it is obvious to also many, many Americans that there are problems to be dealt with, and I hope, like in any democratic society, there will be a discussion, a public discussion on these issues. I think it's very healthy that such a discussion takes place. I suppose that it is also for many painful to go through this, but I think it is important that we deal with these issues, face up to them, but also do it in a spirit of dialogue, of respecting the right of assembly peacefully, and of course also the important aspect that demonstrations should take place in a peaceful manner. And here the civil rights movement in the United States has a great tradition, going back to many, many years. But in my life, as I recall myself, Martin Luther King and the marches in the early 60s when I was a student. And I still have a picture of Martin Luther King in my office where he has the U.S. flag behind him and the United Nations flag at the side, reminding me that this is not only a national issue, human rights, but it is an international issue. So I think Martin Luther King set the example of nonviolent demonstrations and peaceful change.
So you said this is an international issue, and more globally, we are now 60 years after the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Do you think, from your point of view, that there have been progress in human rights, promotion and protection, or the contrary?
There have been both great progress, no doubt, but there has also been setbacks and there are very slow developments. When we in this room today heard 30 voices reading the articles, I said to myself, in this case, yes, in other case, no, we haven't done enough. It's work in progress and we can never give up. Fighting for human rights is a daily duty, almost hourly duty, to live up to these basic principles of every human being's equal value and a right to a life of dignity. This is what it's all about. And for me, this summarizes also the work of the United Nations. We have to stand up for peace and security, for development, but we also, all the time, at the same time, have to stand up for human rights and the rule of law. And if one of these pillars of the United Nations is weak, the whole structure is weak.
That was exactly my last question. We just say that this is about three pillars, right? But very often people say that the pillar of human rights is a bit weak because it lacks maybe funding or attention. What do you think about it?
It is correct. The human rights pillar takes up about 3% of our budget. Of course, we know that peace and security, with all the huge peacekeeping operations, need a lot of resources. We also know that development certainly needs enormous amount of resources. But still, human rights needs to have more of the total budget. And above all, I would hope that the member states will realize that the work on human rights is a core activity and should be part of the regular budget. Right now, most of the operations and our work in human rights are financed by extra budgetary resources. And I certainly consider human rights a core activity, and I hope the member states will draw the consequences of that.